Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Vav Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. The Gemara in our previous shiur had taught us a brisa. In our current shiur, the Gemara continues in discussing that brisa. Teaches us the Gemara Rabbi Kiva Omer, the brisa said, Le'boa Kosef, when the Pasuk says, Metav Sadeh, Metav Kama Yishalim, what the Torah is coming to teach us is Leibah Kosva El Ligvis Lenazikim Aegis. The Torah is telling us that Nazikim, always when there's a situation of Nazikim, we always pay from Aegis. And then Rekiva added another statement, the Kavachoyim Lehegdish. So the Gemara begins by asking, my Kavachoyim Lehegdish, what was meant with the statement of Kavachoyim Lehegdish? Ilema, if we will suggest, says the Gemara, the Nogach Tur the Don, the Tur the Hagdish, the animal that belongs to an individual did damage to the animal that belongs to Hagdish, ask the Gemara, Shoreeyu Amrachmana, the Torah, when it speaks about the Mazik of Keren, the Torah says, V'chiyigav Shoreis Shoreeyu, and from here we learn that the Aloch is Shoreeyu V'loy Shor. The Pasuk, when it speaks about the building of the Mishkan, says, V'techel kol avoydus Mishkan oil moid, V'yasu b'nei Yisroel k'chol asher tziv Hashem es Moshe. So the Sefer Sheresh Yaakov asks that we learned a number of times the concept, this Masechta actually, Masechta Kedushin actually, of Umen Koine B'Shvach Kli, that if somebody is working on somebody else's vessel, keli, that as you, as the craftsman works with it, umen kaina b'shvach kli, they become the owner of that keli. So B'tzal and Aliyov, as the Torah HaKadosha teaches us, built all the kelim of the Mishkan, so they certainly improve them. So if they improve them, they become the owners of those kelim. So why don't we apply the concept of umen kaina b'shvach kli? Says the Pardes Yosef that the concept of umen b'shvach kli travels together, because we do indeed need to understand why, if I just worked on your kli, do I become the owner of that kli? Says the Pardes Yosef, because there's two sides to it. Because if it gets damaged, the umen will be held responsible. But if you're working on a keli that belongs to Hagdish, and our Gemara just taught us, Shoreeyu Amrachman of Eloi Shor Shal Hagdish, so therefore, they didn't become the owners of those kelim. That's why we never have the concept of umen kaina b'shvach kli. The Ktzais gives a different answer to this question, because the Ktzais suggests that the concept of umen b'shvach kaina b'shvach kli is only applicable in a case where you're working for pay, where the umen is working for pay. But in a case where the umen is volunteering his services, he's not getting paid, we don't say umen kaina b'shvach kli. Says the Gemara, Ella l'shayim alei mona lebede kabayis, that the Kavachim, so the Gemara's question is, Rabbi Kiva said Kavachim Lahegdish. We would assume that what did Rabbi Kiva mean when he says Kavachim Lahegdish? That if you did damage to Hegdish, you certainly will be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, that can't be, because as we just learned, the Torah teaches us that you're not chayiv if you do damage to Hegdish. Says the Gemara, the Kavachim is coming to teach us, if somebody takes upon himself to give a certain amount of money to Beit HaKabayis, the also gizbo v'shokel me'idjus, and he doesn't pay what he's supposed to pay, the Torah is teaching us that the treasurer of the Hegdish could take it against his will. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Lo yehe el abal choyv, the obligation that I take upon myself to pay Hegdish is no different than if I borrowed money. And we know the Baal Chayiv, the Beinonis. If somebody owes somebody money, the only type of property you have a right to collect from is from Beinonis. The Chi Tema, says the Gemara, if you'll suggest that Tzavar B'Kiva, that Kol Baal Chayiv Nami B'Idyus, that every Baal Chayiv that owes money, the right to collect is from Idyus, Ikla Mefrach, but even that would be will not prepare us for a legitimate Kal V'Chaymer. Why? Because Ma'al Baal Chayiv Shekein Yofa Koyichem Em Nezokin. By Nezokin, which only apply not by Hegdish, as we just learned, you could collect from Idyus. Time about Hegdish, but when we speak about Hegdish, Shahura Koichai bin Nezokin, because Hegdish doesn't collect, as we just learned, by Nezokin. Says the Gemara, Loilam goes back the Gemara to its original interpretation. Loilam, Rabbi Kiva is referring to a situation, the Nagach Tur, the Don Latur, the Hegdish. A person's animal, the damage to the animal of a Hegdish. I would have called Kashalach, but that caused you to ask the question, Shore Eyu Am Rachmana, Vloisha Shal Hegdish. Doesn't that pasuk teach us that there is no damages paid by Hegdish? Says the Gemara, Rekiva Savalak of Shimon Manasseh. Rekiva actually holds the Kav Shimon Manasseh. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braiser, Shimon Manasseh Oimer, Shor Shal Hegdish, Shnagach, Shor Shal Hegdish Potter. Indeed, if a shor belonging to Hegdish does damage to the shor belonging to the individual, he'll be potter because of the lima that we started the shir with, shor re'eyu v'loy shal Hegdish. However, shor shal Hegdish, shenagach shor shal Hegdish, bein tam, bein mu'ud, mishalem nezek sholim. Not only do you pay when your shor does damage to Hegdish, but even the halacha that we've learned a number of times, that there's a difference if it was tam or mu'ud, doesn't apply by Hegdish. And even if your animal that did damage to Hegdish was a tam, you're going to have to pay nezek shalim. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's what we're saying is Rabbi Kiva's point, ask Gemara, Ihachi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, what we quoted in the Braisa, the Machlokes of Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. As we said, that the machlokes is that when damage is done, and the Torah says you pay, if you're paying with property, you pay idyus, you pay with the best property. And the Gemara taught us that we have a machlokes. How do we assess that? Is it based on the nizik's property or on the mazik's property? Dilma, why don't we say the kulam ben the nizik sheminan? Everybody will agree, like Rabbi Shmuel said, that we assessed according to the nizik. And here, suggests the Gemara v'hocha, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, Rabbanu Kamufki, will say that the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is limited to this machlokes that Rabbi Shkiva sova Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, that Rabbi Kiva holds that if somebody did damage to Hegdish, not only would he be responsible to pay, but he's always going to have to pay Nezek Shalim. And Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbanan, that just like if Hegdish does damage, you're not Chayiv. If you do damage to Hegdish, you also not be responsible. Says the Gemara, it's not possible to say that. Because let's review the words that Rabbi Kiva began with. Rabbi Kiva began with the words, Loi Bo'a Kosov. The Torah didn't come to teach us this. If they're not arguing, how does he say Loi Bo'a Kosov? The words Loi Bo'a Kosov mean that I'm disagreeing with your interpretation. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Void my Kal V'Chomer Hegdish. Rabbi Kiva is saying that based on what I've said now, I'm going to also teach us that we learn a Kal V'Chomer by Hegdish. So now that the Hegdish also, that Hegdish would also have to pay. But Rabbi Kiva's Machma Hegdish, he says that by Hegdish, even a Tam pays Nezek Shalim. Void, Hamar Vashi, Tanya Behedja, we learned explicitly, Meitav Sadeh and Meitav Kamer Yishalim. The Meitav Sadeh Shal Nezek and Meitav Kamer Shal Nezek, Dev Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel in this Braisa very obviously teaches us that you pay with Meitav by assessing the Nezek. Rekivama, Meitav Sadeh Shal Mazek and Meitav Kamer Shal Mazek. So in other words, the Gemara is saying, we have to continue learning that Rekiva whole the Rebbe Akiva says that we assess with the mazik and not with the nizik. Ramalei by Rava. So going into this halacha of paying with meitav, ksiv, the Torah says, as we've been saying over and over, that when a mazik has to pay, the Torah says meitav shdei meitav karmi yishalom. So we learn from here meitav in midach rinaloi. You only have to pay meitav. For Tanya asked the Gemara, the pasuk says balaboy yishalom kesev yoshiv labali. The Torah says the word yoshiv, and that word is superfluous because it already says yishalom, you have to pay, and yoshiv essentially means the same. So what do we learn from the word yoshiv? Larabis shava kesef. It comes as to just that you pay shava kesef. But filas subin. Subin is the lowest quality grain. So ask the Gemara, how could you say that you have to pay meitav? The best, here we say you pay subin. And I saw that the Rishonim strengthened the Gemara's question. What did I mean by strengthening the Gemara's question? Because we've learned, we've said this point more than once, that actually the meitav payment from karka is not what really should be paid with. What the Torah really wants us to pay with is with cash, with other means. The Torah says that if you're going to be paying meitav, if you're going to be paying karka with property, pay meitav. So here we see that you don't have to pay with the best. Says the Gemara Lakasha. Kami datoi. If it was done without a din Torah, so then the Torah says you could pay subin. If you paid bal karcha, where Bezdin needed to get involved, then the halacha is you have to pay meitav. So Rashi explained, as we just explained, that if you paid willingly, if you paid without going through the process of din Torah, you'll have to pay, you could pay whatever you want. However, if you paid from but only agreed to go to din Torah, and then din Torah says, the Bezdin says you have to pay, you'll have to pay from Beitav. The Shita asks a question. He says, what's wrong with going to din Torah? In other words, if somebody doesn't know the halacha, and he's a fine person, and he's prepared to do what the halacha tells him to do, he just doesn't know. And the place to get that answer is by a din Torah. So why should we, so to speak, punish him and tell him that he's going to have, now he has to pay meitav because he went to the din Torah? So that's what the Shita says. It doesn't, the Gemara does not mean to discourage you from going to the Entira. You have every right to go to the Entira. What the Gemara means to say is if after you went to the Entira, if you're going to immediately and properly and easily fulfill the Psak of Bezdin, then you pay even Subin. But if after Bezdin told you that you have to pay, if after Bezdin told you you have to pay, you still delay in paying or you don't pay easily, then the halacha is that you should, then you'll have to pay meitav. And I saw that the Sefer Cheshuki Chemed says that the lesson of our Gemara is that if there are people that are reluctant to go to Dinei Torah, and it's, of course, very commendable that people want to avoid any machloikas. But if the purpose of going to the din Torah is because you want to know what you have to do, and it's not that you're going to the din Torah because you want to be difficult, so then the halacha is there's nothing wrong with going to the din Torah. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, Miksev Yishulam, that if you're paying because others coerced you, then you have to pay meitav. Yishalim ksev. The Torah used the word yishalim. The word yishalim means that you're paying. And no matter whether you pay forcibly, because Bezdin is forcing you to pay, whether you're not paying forcibly, you're paying by your free will, the Torah used the word yishalim, that you should pay meitav. So Gemara goes back and asks, why? Where do we get this? Where do you get this distinction? Asks Abaya, Tula Breder of Eloi, between when Bezdin had to force you to pay or you did so willingly. So we just learned that the word Yeshulam means that you did it force, you paid force by force, they had to force you to pay. Yeshalom means that you were voluntarily to pay. The Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, Yeshalom Hashem pa'alech, v'tei meskurtech shleimim im Hashem, and there's a very famous, difficult medrash. Om Rav Chesa, ashebos lachsois tachas knofav. So what is Rav Chesa adding? So the Sefer, Proshus Drachim, says that wherever the Torah says, the Gemara just said, that wherever the Torah says Yishalim, it means, whenever the Torah says Yishulam, it means Balkarcha, Yishalim means voluntarily. So here it says, Yishalim Hashem, Balkarcha, Yishalim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forces, he didn't force, well, we can't force Hashem to pay somebody's schar. Yishalom Hashem pa'alech. But Kadosh Baruch Hu could be forced to pay you. So explains the Parashas Drachim. The Pasuk says in Iyov, Mihig de'at ma'ani v'shalim. Om Rav Tachon bar Ava Abba, says the Medrash, Mishayin lo'id nechas v'yis tztaka g'milas tzadim. If somebody gives tztaka and somebody raises his children properly, or somebody puts a mezuzah on his home, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really don't owe him anything because I was the one that gave him these things. Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to pay? Somebody who didn't have to do these things and they does it anyway. And that's what the Medrash was saying to Rus. You, Rus, weren't obligated to become a Geyrus. By you voluntarily agreeing to become a Geyrus, what you were doing and saying is that, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to you, since you did what you weren't obligated to do, so therefore, the halacha is, Ashabos lachsis, because you came on your own, then I'm going to have to give you schar. Elam Abaya, we go back to the original question. On one hand, the Torah says meitav, that you have to pay meitav. On the other hand, the Torah says even subin, tremar. Like we learned, the Braisa, the Tanya, me shayle batim, hare shayle batim. Somebody has property sodas for kramim, vein moitzle machram, and he can't sell them. So the question is, he needs funds to live, but he has a difficulty selling his assets. So is he entitled to take maisa ani or not? So the loch is machil nosoi maisa ani and machtsa. He says that instead. Normally, the shear, where a person is no longer entitled to take meiser ani, is when he has 200 zuz. I saw a very nice gematria from the Mashah. The Mashah says that the word stoka, the gematria of the word stoka, is 199. When you have 199, if you have less than 200, then you're entitled to take stoka. Not only are you entitled to take meiser ani, the halacha is that you could take as much. You could take 1,000 at one time. It's only when you have 200 that you can't take 100. You can't take tzedakah. So here, this person has a property, and he can't sell them. So the halacha is that he could sell. He has to sell them for half, and the other half he could take from tzedakah. So the way that Rishonim explained that this Gemara is talking about a case where the property normally is worth 200, but because he can't sell it, as the Gemara is going to explain why in a moment, he could sell it for 100, and the other hand, 100, he could take from Maisani. So as the Gemara of Ahavi Bamar, and Rabbi tried to understand that Braisa. Hechidami, exactly what is the case of that Braisa? If Ihuzel Arasa the Kula Alma, if everybody's property went down in value, for the day Nami Zoba Adayu, and his property also went down in value, so then the halacha ought to be a field tuva Nami Lispalei. So then his property isn't worth 200. And as we just said, once you don't have assets and money up to 200 zuz, you'll have to take to 100. we like to take tzedakah because the hazor the kula almanami. Everybody's property went down in value, and since everybody's property went down in value, the property is not worth 200. The fact that it was once worth 200 has no bearing on today. Ella the oikah the arsa the kula alma. Really, property, if anything, didn't go down. It actually went up in value. And so too, the day his property also really went up. But he has an issue. I did the eye of a nachi azuzi. Everybody knows that he's desperate to sell. And when people know that he's desperate to sell, they could take advantage. They do take advantage. And because they take advantage, as I did the eye of a nachi azuzi, zol are. That created that his property should also should go down in value. So then, the halach is, I feel a pertin nami lelespilei. Why should we give him any maaser oni? He doesn't deserve maaser oni. His property is worth 200. Vamamar, Allah, says the Gemara, this is the way, so Rabbi explained the Braisa as follows. Loi tzricha. The Braisa is speaking about a case, the b'yoyim nissen, in the springtime, yaka arasa. Property is typically more valuable because property was used to plant on, and in the spring is when you could plant. So if I buy a property in the spring, I'll buy it and I'll immediately get use out of it by planting on it. B'yayim Tishrei, in Tishrei zol arasa, the property goes down in value because if a person buys property in Tishrei, he's going to have to wait until Nissan to plant it. So he's going to be responsible for this property, but not really have any use from it. The Kul Alma, so that's why everybody, Natriad Nissim Zabni, waits until Nissan to sell property. For high, but this individual, Hoyo V'Istruchalei Zuzi, since he's desperate for cash, Zovin Kedahashta, he sold it now in Tishrei. So now, the reality is, he's not showing that he's desperate for cash. As the Gemara said, don't ever show that. But he actually has to sell it because he needs the money. So now the question is, at palga, so now up to 50% of the value that you're going to get in Nissen, Urcha Lemezel, people normally sell. Tfei, lay Urcha Lemezel. And that's why that's the formula that's used, says the Gemara, and determining if he's entitled to Maisroni or he's not entitled to Maisroni. And says the Gemara, Hachinami Gabi Nezokin. We're going to say by Nezokin the same. Dine be Igis. Really, the Nizik is entitled to get Igis. E Amalahu, but if the Nizik said to the Mazik, Havli Beninus Tfei Porta, I'm willing to take Beninus more instead of Igis, but I'll take it at a better price, Amalei, so to which the Mazik could tell the Nizik, Ikishalta Kedinach, if you're going to take Igis that you're entitled to, great. And not tell me, well, now it's Tishrei, and in Tishrei, the value of property is less. And I don't want to take the Tishrei value. I want to take the Nissan value. V'loi shakel k'yoker alma. He says, if you'll take Igis, then you could take according to the current value. V'loi, if you don't take what you want to take, what you're entitled to take, shakel k'yoker d'lkameh, then you'll take it according to the more expensive price. So what he's saying to him is, if you do what you're told to do, what the Torah says, you take according to the current value, if you want, which is whatever the value is. If you want to take what you're not entitled to, Beninus, then you'll have to. I'm going to charge you at the more expensive price. Says the Gemara, Maskel Rachav Yaakov Im Kain Huratu Koychem Shenazokem Etz Beninus VeZiburius. So it turns out that the Nizik, by wanting to get Beninus VeZiburius, suffers, and Rachmana Amar Mimetiv. And the Torah says, we always want to do what's best for the Nizik. Vat Amrit, Beinus Vizaburus Nami, and now you're saying that by Beinus Vizaburus Loi, we're not going to do what's best for the Nizik. And the Gemara explains that what the Gemara explains is that you should have, we're always looking out for the benefit. This doesn't seem to be looking out for the benefit. So the Gemara, so I saw that the Michsa Lazar in his Sefer Divrei Torah asks a question. The Gemara said earlier at the bottom of Amud Aleph that we say to this person that by you being anxious to sell the property, you hurt yourself because people know that you're desperate for cash and therefore they push down the price. So he asks, why are we being so tough on this person? The person needs money. So why are we being so tough on him and saying it's your fault? So he says, we learned at the end of Masechta Kedushin, where the Mishnah teaches us, the Chazal say, "Miyamai larisi ari chenveni." I never saw an ari owning a shop. V'shal kayitz, different animals doing work. V'hem espanisim shloi betzar, and they Baruch Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives them all panosa. V'ani, and I, the human being for which the entire world was created, mesparis betzar. El shiroyse es ma'ase v'kapachtis panososei. So that's what the Gemara means to say. How did you get to this point that you don't have panosa? The Gemara is saying to this individual, you got to this point that you don't have panosa because you did averis. So you can't say that you're innocent. You're not innocent. Maybe innocent, saying that you're desperate for money is not a reason that we can have a claim on you, but we can't say, you can't claim innocence. Had you not done averis, you would have never come to this position. So Rav Acha B'Yakov says that if the Nizik requests land that's Beninus or Zaburius, the Mazik is obligated to give it to him at the current market value. And he can't tell him, I'm going to value it according to the future Nissan price, which is more expensive. So there are Rishonim that learn from here that the Nizik has the right to not only ask, not just for Idyas, he could ask for Zaburius and Beninus. The Nidyas could even identify which piece of property he wants. That's the opinion of the Miri. That the Rosh disagrees. And he says that even though Rav Acha is being very kind to the Nizik and allowing him that if he doesn't want to take Idyas, he could take Zaburius or Beninus, it doesn't give him the right to determine which piece of property that he wants to keep, that he wants to take. And only, says the Rosh, only in a case where the Mazik doesn't have a reason to say, I want this piece of property more than another piece of property, does the Mazik have a right to make such a claim? But in a case where the Mazik could say, well, I want to hold on to this piece of property, the Nizik has no right to say, well, no, I want this specific piece of property. So here we're learning that there's different prices, things go up and down in value, and the question that needs to be discussed, when things go up and down in value, do we assess it according to the current value or the value when it's going to be more expensive? So I saw that Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses an interesting question. He says that if somebody, Israel, is being attacked, and particularly the places in Israel that are being attacked are the value of the real estate obviously goes down. Somebody needs to sell his house during such a situation. What is the halacha? When somebody's coming to collect, or somebody's coming to collect the property, his old money, and he's foreclosing on a property, do we value it according to the current value, or do we evaluate it according to the future value? So he says, this is not the same as our Gemara, Because in our Gemara, the reason the Gemara says that things go up in Nisan is the Gemara explained. Because in Nisan, you could get more. For your property. Because in Nisan, you could plant it. Here, the property is going to go up in value as soon as the war goes up. It's not going to depend on your involvement. And therefore, the Rashbatz says that you value it according to what you assume it's going to be what after the war is over. And the Rashba disagrees. He says, whenever we come to value something, we value it according to the current value. And if currently that's the price, Says the Gemara. So we're back to understanding what does the price mean. Elam Ravach by Yaakov, if we're going to explain this price, we're going to compare it to Balchoiv. Balchoiv, the law is that a Balchoiv, if somebody's owed money and he's coming to collect property, he's allowed to collect property from Bainus. The Amalei, but if the Malva will tell the Loiva, Havli Zaburius Tfei Purti, give me Zaburius, Amalei, he could tell him, E Shakli Kadinach Shakli Kashta, if you're going to take Bainus, then I'll have to give you according to the current value. Viloi, but if you don't take it, Shkol Ki Yukrid L'Kamei, you'll take it according to the value, what it's going to be when it goes up in value, as we keep on repeating in this sin. Maskla Racham Rei Dravaka. Im Kain, Na'al T'Dalus B'fnei Lovin. You're causing that people should not want to lend people money. Domalei, Ila Havli Zuza, Havli Shakli Hashta. If you would have had the money, you would pay me according to the current value. If I would have money, I would buy property and I wanted this property, I would pay according to the current value. Hashta de Zuzigabach, now that I lent you the money, so I don't have cash available. Ashka Kiyukad al Kameh, so that puts me at a disadvantage. And the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Why is the halacha that you pay by a Balchoiv gets paid with Beinonis? The loch is because there's a concept of Le'ilas Delos B'fnei Lovin. We don't want to discourage people from lending money. So the Gemara's question is, by telling this person, you're going to have to wait for it to go up, you're going to have to wait for it to go up in value, or otherwise don't, you're discouraging people from lending money. And everything that Chazal did was to discourage the people from doing this. So it can't be that that's pshat. Says the Gemara, Alam Ravach Breit Ravika, Ikla Dunu Ksuvus Isha Madinan. The aloch is, the Ksuvus Isha Dina B'Ziburius. The aloch is a wife, when she's entitled to collect a ksuba, whether because her husband, Rahman Salam, died, or divorced her, she's entitled to get Ziburius. V'yamrali ii, if she says to him, Havli Beninus Bot Ziburtop, I'd rather get Beninus, even though it means I'm going to get a smaller piece of property. Amalei, he says to her, Ishakach Kedinach Shkol Kedashta, if you're going to take what you're entitled to, take what its value now. V'loi, Shakli Yukadul Kamei. What does that mean? The wife who's collecting Ksuba is always in a weak position. Why is the wife in a weak position? So the way the Gemara explained it, we learned the Masechet Ksubos, because women are anxious to get married. And since women are anxious to get married, they're willing to accept that the Ksuba payment should be with Zaburius. So since they're willing to, the Ksuba payment should be in Zaburius, she's always in a weak position. So now, when this woman turns around and says, I want something better than what I'm entitled to, I want Beinonis, certainly the halacha will be that she can't make such a claim. And if she does make such a claim, he's going to say, if you want Beinonis, you're going to have to take it at the price it's going to go up to when Lisa comes around. But ask the Gemara, after all of these back and forth, we haven't answered the question we began with. That on one hand, the Torah says that you pay Meitav, On the other hand, the Torah says you pay subin. Mikom makom kasha. How do we reconcile this? Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, kol de yavlei meitav leilei. Wherever you give, you have to give the best of that type of material. So if you're going to give subin, you're going to have to give him the best subin. But that doesn't mean you can't give subin. Ask the Gemara, but that's not what the Pasuk says. But meitav sadeiksev, the Pasuk clearly says, meitav sadeyu. And now we're saying that, no, the meitav is in all types of payment. You have to pay with the best that you have. Says the Gemara, el kiosra papa rav huna bered yishum be rav preshua. Komili meitav hu. When we speak about metaltlin, metaltlin, says the Gemara, by definition, is always meitav. Because even if it's the type of metaltlin, diloy mizdaben hocha, mizdaben masachrita, if it can't be sold here, you could always find somewhere where there's a demand for this metaltlin. Levar ma'ara, except when we speak about real estate. Because real estate, by its very definition, is only available, is only where you have the, where you have it. You can't move real estate. So therefore, the Torah says that when you're paying with real estate, you have to pay with the best real estate that you have to pay with the best real estate that you have, which means that you pay with the idjus, as we learned and will continue learning. Whereas if you pay with metaltlin, you could pay with anything. So the Sefer Mishpatei Torah discusses a very interesting shaila. He says there was a mazik that did damage to a nizik, and now the nizik is coming to claim, you have to pay me what you owe me. So the mazik says, well, I have a warehouse full of soap bars. And soap bars are, by definition, metaltlin. And the Gemara just said that when the mazik has a right to say that when he's paying metaltlin, he could pay any metaltlin that he wants, because metaltlin, by definition, the Gemara said, is always considered meitav, is always considered idjus. So ask the Sefer Mishpatei Torah, the nizik says, what am I going to do now with a warehouse full of soap? So he says that what, so he says, what is the halacha? He says that on one hand, the mazik has every right to say it. On the other hand, does the nizik says, the mazik says to the nizik, I now go around and sell soap and you'll make back your money. He said, if the nizik had a store, so then the nizik could say, yes, I have a supermarket, I'll bring the soap into my supermarket and I'll sell it. But I don't have a store. And for me to go and start selling soap bars, I don't have the ability to sell soap bars. So then the halach will be as follows, he says. If everything could be sold, you just may have to drop the price. So the halacha is that he could sell the soap bars at the reduced price that anybody will be able to sell it for, and that will be the value of the soap bar. So in other words, if it's easy for him to sell it because he owns a supermarket or whatever else is the circumstances, then the halacha will be that he has to accept the soap bars. But if he doesn't have the ability to sell that soap bar, or he doesn't have the ability to easily sell the soap bar, then the halacha is that you could give him the soap bar, but you have to give it to him in the price that the nizik has the ability to sell it for. Continues the Gemara. Barminei Rav Shmuel bar Abba. Shmuel bar Abba from the city of Akrunya asked Rav Abba, Kishen Shaman, when we're coming to collect meitav, and the person had the mazik, we're going according to the opinion of Rav Akiva, that the mazik Shaminin, when we determine what idyos is, how do we make that determination? B'shaloi Shaman or B'shaloi Lamehim Shaman? There are certain properties that are called Idjis. The reason they're called Idjis is because they are high quality properties. And there's certain times something can be called Idjis because that is the best that I have. When we determine Idjis, do we go according to the person's Idjis or according to what the world calls Idjis? A Libra Rabbi Shmuel says, I'm going to buy Lach. We look at the Nizik to make this determination. Says the Gemara, Tekit Bailoch, Aliva de Rekiva Dama ben the Mazik Sheminin. Mai, says the Gemara, what is the definition of Meitav Sadei Dama Rechmana? Lemuti de Nizik? Does it mean to say that the Torah according to Rekiva is saying that we look at the Mazik's, we look at the Mazik and not at the Nizik? A Dilma, what we look at, Lemuti de Alma Mami. We only look at what is by him Meitav. Amalei, Rechman Amal Meitav Sadeyu, says the Gemara, I don't understand. Rabbi Abba says, of course, the Torah says, Meitav Sadeyu, we look at what is the Meitav, what is the best that belongs to the Mazik, Vat Amrit, and now you're going to suggest that, now you're going to say that we're going to Bishal Olam Hamim Shaman. Why would Bishal Olam, why would we take into consideration anybody else? The Torah says the Meitav. I saw that the Paradis Yosef says that the, so we're learning now that we always look at the Mazik's Idjis. So the Sefer Paradis Yosef says that the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, the Aflam Gimel on the Beis, says Bizman Shet Tzadikim Bedor, in a time that there are Tzadikim, Tzadikim Netfasim Alador. If Chas V'Shalom there are people doing Averis, the Tzadikim get punished. Ain't Tzadikim Bedor? If it's a time where we don't have Tzadikim, Tanoikish Shabbos Rabbim Netfasim Alador. Then the Tanoikish Shabbos Rabbim. So he says the Tzadikim are considered Idjis. The Tanoikish Shabbos Rabbim, the young children learning Torah, are considered the Idjis. Because a tzaddik, even though he's Baruch Hashem a tzaddik, ain't on the Baruch Shlo Yechta. There's no one, there's no human being that does Averis, that doesn't do Averis. Tanoikish Shabbos Rabbim, ain't Bem Chet, they're pure. So if that tzaddikim, we go to them, because we go to the Idjis. Because even though we're saying that you have to pay, you only have to pay the Idjis. You don't have to pay the Idjis. Only in a case when there's no tzaddikim, then we go to the Idjis. And therefore, he says, the Gemara says there, Hamavazatam Chochem ain't truthful Imam Kosai. If somebody mistreats a Talmud Chochem disrespectfully, there is no way to heal such a person. Why? Because he considers himself the Idjis. So if Chas V'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish Klal Yisrael, he's the individual that's going to get punished. Because according to his thinking, he's the Idjis. And therefore, by being modest, you save yourself that kind of tzaras. And in general, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from all tzaras.